Amen. That was sure a blessing. Thank you so much. The Master Club kids and the Varnums, what a blessing. That was good. And one thing that just really just stands out so much is there was a day Stella was taller than Matthew. That's not even close now. And then I don't know if you noticed, but Matthew's voice is changing. And he used to sing with them, and they all kind of sounded the same, but now they don't all sound the same. And that growing older, that's, it's so hard to watch that. But what a blessing, and what a blessing these young folks are to our church, and we're so proud of them. And I'll tell you, it's just so good. Well, I wanted to give you part two tonight of this morning's message, Philippians 1:21. And what a blessing these fellows preaching, and Jacob did a great job, and we get a little northeastern accent in there, and that's good. And then Andrew's got that camp meeting preacher kind of style. He sucks wind, you know. If you ever hear him talking about his baseball teams, basketball teams, and football teams, he'll rattle off statistics fast. And while he's doing it, and this guy's got a batting average of 350. And then Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, they're the best. And he gets into it, and he's going to be a camp meeting preacher, I can tell. And what a blessing, so good. Well, I wanted to give you part two tonight, just a short challenge, Philippians 1:21. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This morning, I talked about what are you living for? I asked the question, what are you living for? And I gave some negative things that people do live for today. And it's a temptation, not just to the unsaved, but it's a temptation to Christians as well. Many people live for pleasure. Many people live for popularity. Many live for possessions. Some will live for philosophy. Some will live for power. And of course, many will live for pride. And we talked this morning about the fact that if you follow vanity, you become vain. If you follow empty things, you become empty. And that is a scriptural principle, very, very true. And for me to live is, well, if it's anything but Christ, it's going to be empty. For me to live is pleasure, and to die is loss. You've wasted a life. You've wasted time. If again, there's nothing wrong with having pleasure. God made us to enjoy pleasure, and that's not wrong. But if that's all we live for, then we have wasted our life. For me to live is popularity. If you live for popularity, for me to live is popularity. To die is loss. You've lost because popularity dies. It's only temporary, and it is not eternal. For me to live is possessions. Boy, we like possessions. Nothing wrong with a job. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with having things. But if that's what you live for, you've wasted a lot of time. Because for me to live is possessions, and to die is loss. We can't take it with us. Our possessions are not eternal. For me to live is philosophy. You know, just learning all these deep truths and you know, like the people in the book of Acts. And ultimately, you know, they had so much intelligence. They sat around and listened to some new thing, the Bible says, day after day. But ultimately, their altar was inscribed to the unknown God. What a sad thing to know so many things, but not to know Him. What a sad thing for a Christian to be saved, but never really get to know Him. And so, for to me to live is philosophy, to die is loss. Certainly there's no gain there. For to me to live is power. Well, to have power here, it's not eternal. To die is loss. It is empty. It's waste. For to me to live is pride. To die is, again, it's loss. Pride gets you nowhere as far as eternal things are concerned. And so, really, most Christians, sad to say, a lot of Christians, a lot of people, their lives really, unless you can fill in that blank with, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain, if you can't fill in that blank Christ, then really much of our lives are a waste as far as the things of God. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and therefore to die is gain. There's a value there. There's a value that I've sent forth into eternity. There's a value. And if I live Christ, then there's going to be some things that I will have to do. And I want to give you those four things tonight just to go through them kind of quickly. Number one is live for pleasing God. Live for pleasing. How can I live Christ? How can I say for to me to live is Christ? Well, we live to please God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, look at it. Living to please our God. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, it says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. That's what we ought to do. We ought to all decide that I want to please God. I want to please Him in my life. I want to please Him in my death. I want to please Him in everything that I do. Certainly, we can have some pleasure in our lives. Certainly, every now and then, you know, you can go to Cedar Point, ride on a roller coaster, and you can have some pleasure. But ultimately, what I really want to do is I just really want to please God with my life. I want to please God with the things that I do. You can have money, and it's not wrong to have, and it's not wrong to have possessions. And yet, if those are more important than anything in my life, then I'm not going to be able to please God. Oh, to be able to just please God at the end of the day, to say, you know, I did some things today that I believe with all my heart please God. It pleased God. In Matthew 3, verse 17, it said, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was pleased with His Son. I hope He's pleased with me. You ought to want Him to be pleased with you. Listen, folks, live for pleasing God. Just real quick, how can we do it? 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. We can please God with what we say. And by the way, every time we speak His word, He's pleased. He's pleased. I believe God, I think God stopped everybody from what they were doing in heaven tonight, and when Jacob stood up and started to speak the words of God. I believe He stopped everything going on in heaven and said, hey, I want everybody to pay attention down there. Andrew is going to speak my word. God loves it when we speak His words. God loves them. It's one, again, there's many things we talk about throughout the day, but to be able to speak His word, it pleases Him. It pleases Him when you open your Bible and you share the gospel with somebody else. It is something that will always please Him. What we say, well, we can please Him or we can not please Him with what we say. Speaking, what we speak can please God. What's another thing? Hebrews 11, verse 5, you know the story about Enoch. The Bible says he walked with God and God took him. You ever wonder why God took him? Well, it's not hard to figure out, because Hebrews 11, verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God, and God said, come on, Enoch, I want you. Enoch pleased God. He walked with God. That pleases God. You know, when you go through a whole day, God doesn't mind if you want to do some things that are pleasant. God doesn't mind if you go on your job and work your job. In fact, He tells us to do that. God doesn't mind if maybe you happen to be popular with some folks. That's not so bad, as long as you don't live for it. God doesn't mind if you have a nice car. Those are not things that God minds about. But God is very, very pleased when we take time out of our day to walk with Him. When we take our day and we let Him be a part, we walk with Him throughout our day. You know, the only reason we wouldn't walk with God is because we might be ashamed of where we're walking, and we don't want to take Him with us. Oh, yeah, you know, honestly, I've been a pastor a long time, and when there's a little group in a hallway or in a room or something, and they're talking, and I walk in, and all of a sudden it gets quiet, I figure they're probably saying something that may not please me. You know how it is, parents. I mean, honestly, you know, a group of teenagers are all standing here talking and they're laughing, and then you walk up and you figure maybe there's something going on just maybe doesn't, might not please you. You're not real sure about it. But, you know, I say to the Lord, I take you with me everywhere I go. I want you here. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want, take God with you to the store and get the deals. Do you suppose he might know where the deals are better than you do? Well, I have a coupon. Well, he's got deals that don't even need coupons. All the time. I've mentioned before about our first baby bed. And we didn't, there was no coupon. There was no sale flyer or anything like that. We're just walking with God. And God said, led us to, it was either Sears or Penny's. I don't remember back in those days. But we went to one of those stores and went in. And there was a baby bed. And it was beautiful. Brand new bed. I mean, it was unbelievable. And we both chuckled like, well, we could never get anything like that. We figured, we'll just throw Dave in the bathtub, let him sleep in there. Which he acts like we did. But anyway, I got to looking at it, and there was one of those great big tags on it for sale, and I looked down at it, and I don't remember what the price initially was, but we had the person come and said, why is this so inexpensive? They said, well, it's got a broken, some little piece was broken. I said, well, I told Brenda, I said, it doesn't seem to affect it, and it didn't affect it in any way. It was just a broken piece. I said, since it's broken, how about $25? They said, sold. It was like a $150 bed. I couldn't believe it. And that's probably the nicest bed Dave's ever had. And but how does it, will you just, Lord, I need you to go with me shopping. Lord, I need you to go to the store with me. I need you to go to the gas station with me. I'd like you to go with me down the road here, Lord. I walk with him. It pleases him. By the way, you say that's great for you. It's great for him because he loves you. He loves you. Speak right. Walk with him. How about this? Hebrews 13:16. It also talks about pleasing God. It says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Just constantly, I'm telling him, just do right. Do right. Now, that's not the only counsel I give, but it's the best counsel I give. Just do right. I mean, if we don't have time to spend, talking about something, okay, ultimately, just do right. Do what's right. Amen. Why? Well, because it pleases God. Plus, it keeps you out of trouble. Amen. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it's the best deal in the world to do right because we get in trouble when we do wrong. And when we do right, our God is pleased. Live for pleasing God. Speak His word and walk with Him and do right. And 1 John 3, verse 22, it tells us to obey Him. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And when we keep His commandments, we obey. That pleases Him. It really does. It pleases Him so much when we simply obey. And I like this. It says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. When? Well, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I know when our kids were little, when they disobeyed, I wasn't as excited about buying things for them. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, seriously. If the purpose to go to the store was to buy them something and they're disobeying me, the thrill is somewhat lost. Well, how in the world do we think that our God is just thrilled to give us, which He has, every gift and every perfect gift which comes from above, and we disobey Him and we somehow keep saying, give me, give me, give me, give me. Somehow the two don't go together. And if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's very inconsistent. Live for pleasing God. What are you living for? All these other things, let me challenge you. As Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. Live for pleasing God. Number two, live for promoting Christ. Back in our text in Philippians, Philippians 1 and verse 8. Number one, we need to live for pleasing God. But number two, let's live for promoting Christ. In Philippians 1 and verse 18, he talks about this as he leads up to, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He says, I'm going to preach Christ. Live for promoting Christ. Preach Christ. Let's talk about Jesus. Choir sang it recently. Let's talk about Jesus. And yet we don't talk about Jesus. We're so afraid that the world is not going to like it. They don't like it. The world doesn't like it. Satan doesn't like it. Flesh doesn't like it. But God's people, you want to do right and you want to live for Christ, you got to talk about Him. Amen. Amen. For to me to live is Christ. Is it really? Do you talk about Him at work? I'm not talking about preaching to people. I'm not talking about, you know, it's so easy to, well, look what you do and look what you do. And okay, forget about all that and say, look what He did. Now, I'm serious about this thing. We are so quick to condemn everybody else. Talk about Jesus. Let Him do the condemning. Let his righteousness, His light, let that do the convicting. Nowhere does the Bible say you and I are supposed to be convictors. What do we need to do? Just preach Christ. Talk about Jesus. Amen. I'm not talking about behind the pulpit. I'm not talking about a Sunday school teacher. I'm just, you know, in life daily, as we walk, as we work, as we talk to our neighbors, why don't we talk about Jesus? Well, you know, I might offend them. But listen to me. We need to promote Christ. Amen. What are you living for? Typically, if all you talk about is baseball, if all you talk about is shopping, if all you talk about, well, plug it in. Is that what you're living for? How much do you talk about Jesus throughout the week? Let's talk about Jesus. Verse 20, he said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He said, whatever I do, everything I do, he said, it is all about promoting Christ. And He is magnified in me. What's that mean? That means His countenance. You seriously, folks that are Christians, I like what Andrew said. You know, if he's out there playing basketball and he disobeys his parents in front of his unsaved neighbor, shame on him. Shame on a Christian who is constantly griping, complaining, frowning, woe is me. How sad. What a terrible testimony that is. Somebody says, boy, you know, aren't you a Christian? Yeah, but everything's terrible. Really? Is it really? Why in the world would they get saved? Amen. Promoting Christ. What's it mean? He said, Paul said, in my body I promote Christ. I want people to say, I want them to see me smiling. Amen. You say, well, it's not real. Well, then fake it. Amen. Put on Jesus. Amen. Boy, it's quiet tonight. I'm trying to hurry, but you're making me want to add points. Amen. In my body, what's he mean? He means my activities. He means what I do. You know, if somebody sees me stealing, then that's not Christ-like. In my body, I'm going to put on Christ. I'm going to promote Christ in what I do, my activities. That's why I don't go to the bar. Well, that and I don't drink liquor. That's another reason I don't go to the bar. Amen. It's okay. Smile. You know, promoting Christ. I'm doing activities that are Christ-like activities, things that Jesus would do if he were here. Amen. It's an appearance. It's how we look. It's all of those things. You know, I talked about at graduation the other night about good old-fashioned modesty, and it's lost today. And summer's here, and nudity's everywhere, and just all this weird stuff. And piercing this and piercing that and tattooing this and tattooing that. And Christians are tattooing verses on their forehead. It's like, what in the world are you thinking? Live for promoting Christ. Amen. 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 Live for pleasing God. Live for promoting Christ. Third thing, live for persuading men. What are you living for today? Live for persuading men. He says in Philippians 1, verse 12, he said, but I would ye should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 17, he says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. He said, I'm going to persuade men. I'm going to use the good news of the gospel and the defense of the gospel backed up by the word of God. And I'm going to persuade men. I'm going to tell them you must be born again. Hey, if it was right for Jesus to tell Nicodemus that, wouldn't it be right for us to tell everybody that? But again, what are you living for? You say, well, I can say that, for to me to live is Christ. When's the last time you persuaded men? You talked to somebody, you gave them a gospel tract, said, read this, it'll tell you how to know for sure you're going to heaven. By the way, here's another persuasion of men. In verse 14, he said, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That is an amazing verse, folks. And I'm just about done. I want you to think real hard about that. Because he said they wax confident by Paul's bonds. His shackles. He's a prisoner. He's in jail. And somehow, through all of that, the brethren became more bold, more confident in Paul's being in jail. In fact, it says, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Somehow seeing Paul in bonds, in jail, made them want to preach that much harder. I guess Paul probably wasn't going, oh, it's over. The end is here. I just should never have done this in the first place. I shouldn't have taken this stand. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. I guess I'll go eat worms. He must not have griped, complained, belly ached about the whole thing. He must not have. You know, folks, it's time to praise God for what he does. It's time for us to, you know, to persuade the brethren out here that serving God is the best thing. And our bus route is not toil. It's not, oh, it's cold outside. We just can't hardly, oh, vacation Bible school. Quit griping. Everybody ought to get involved with vacation Bible school. Everybody ought to get involved with the fair ministry. Do something in these ministries. And rejoice about it. Be excited about it. Oh, the bus ministry. It's just so difficult. That's, you know what? Here's what encourages people. You know what? I may be struggling and I may be suffering, but I'm just praising God because God is good. Amen. Amen. Persuading men to get saved and persuading men to stand. More than ever, we need to persuade one another to just keep going. Keep standing, keep doing right, keep walking with God, and keep trusting the Lord. And we need to be persuading people by being positive about the thing. Amen. Amen. I'll amen myself. I'd come down there and do it, but I'm too tired. Live for pleasing God. Live for promoting Christ. Live for persuading men. And then the last thing, live. Boy, and make this just be determined. Live for performing His will. Performing His will. Just, God, I just want to do Your will. I want to do whatever You want me to do. You know, I tell people all the time, pray for our seniors. Well, we don't have any seniors now. Just senior citizens. You know, our seniors are no longer seniors. They're graduates. I think they've all graduated. I'm not sure. Brady, has he officially graduated yet? Not yet. Okay, pray for Brady. Actually, Brady's already, I believe he knows what he's doing next. And I believe, well, we know Brittany knows where she's going next. Jessica's still praying about that. But pray for them. Because honestly, here, you know, they need to know what God wants them to do. And then they need to just say, God, I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'll do it. Whatever it is, I will do it. Live. And look, live for doing that. You know, for to me to live is Christ. What's that mean? That means it's Your will, Father. It's Your will. Lord, I want to do Your will. The Bible says it's our reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is Your reasonable service. It's just reasonable that you and I would say, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. And what's the gain? Well, the gain is, well done. You did it. You did it. I wish we could somehow do some sort of a survey of everybody in the room right now and say, do you think if you were to fill in these blanks, for to me to live is, what would Jesus say? You'd put in that blank. What would he say you'd put in that blank? For to me to live is, what is it? What do you say? It's Christ. It's Christ. Again, I'm not talking about you being perfect because none of us are. I'm just saying, really, what is your motivation tonight? Is it Christ? I hope it is. Because if it is, you'll live for pleasing God. You'll live for promoting Christ. You'll live for persuading men. You'll live for performing his will. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. How many tonight would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Slip it up. God's speaking to my heart. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe God spoke to you during one of our fellows' messages, and God spoke in your heart about something there. Tonight, is there someone else you'd say, please pray for me. God's speaking to my heart. How do you fill in the blank? Thank you. For to me to live is, what is it? What is it? For to me to live is, what do you put there? If it's not Christ, please come and at least pray. God, help me to live for you.